everybody out there. Thanks for coming on board and giving me about a half hour of your time. I do appreciate it. Listen, if you love my podcast, I hope you do. I try to keep it short so it doesn't take up your whole day here. Plus, I just can't talk for 2 hours. And anyway, thanks for joining me. I appreciate it. If you love my podcast, please give me 5 stars and get on there and rave about how you like it. You know, you can get all my episodes at robscottpodcast.com. Drop me an email at rob@robscottpodcast.com. And, well, you know what to do. You can find me anywhere. Apple, doesn't matter where you can find my podcast anywhere. So, hey, thanks for joining me. I appreciate it. You know me, I always like to kind of like give you a little update of what's going on in my life, which you probably don't really give a rat's patoot, but that's okay. I'm going to tell you anyway. It's been a lot better week. We've had some really real nice weather this last week. Mostly all the snow had stopped, and we've had some sunny days. Still a little bit chilly in the mornings, but it's starting off a lot better, and then during the day it gets into the 50s, which is reasonable. I pulled out my shorts finally, and so I'm trying to get some sun to these white legs. I noticed that, you know, through the winter time, I usually have hairy legs, and a few areas of my legs are kind of patchy now because the pants have been rubbing against them for so long. So I got to get those to grow back, which is kind of creepy talk, but that's okay. I get it, but it's just the way it is. Anyway, so it's been good, and it's been relatively uneventful. You know, I haven't been bitten by any dogs. I haven't had any crazy, you know, people yelling, screaming at me. And a lot of people just thankful that their packages are getting there on time. In fact, a good percentage of these people always tell me, "Wow, that's cut here early. You know, I was expecting that till next week or something like that." So, it doesn't have anything really to do with me because it's on my truck and I deliver it. So, but I take the credit for it, and they seem to be happy. I'm happy and I get done. And actually I've been getting done a little bit earlier. And that's been nice. Been getting home at a reasonable time. And, so that's good too. The only thing is that I worked Saturday, and, I got in kind of early because I didn't know how heavy it was going to be. I took off Friday to as you probably know, my daughter is leaving Utah. Her husband graduated from dental school, and they accepted an offer with a practice in Oklahoma. And they are leaving here at the end of the month, and so we had a little going away gig for him over at her mother's house. And so we all kind of got together and hung out there till about as late as I could on Friday night. And that was nice. It was nice to see them. We just had a pizza party, and all the kids were running around like crazy. And that was a lot of fun. And just catching up. Going to miss them a ton. You know, one of the reasons I moved out to Utah is because of my grandkids. And now they're leaving. Now they're leaving the old man behind. And not really. But listen, they've got to make their life, and I'm very happy for them. Very excited for them. Proud of her husband. And the work that he's done, and the work that my daughter's been doing for the last 4 years. And it's paid off, and now they're moving and going to start their life in Oklahoma. So I wish them well. I love them, miss them, and I'll have to, you know, chalk up Oklahoma. I don't think I've ever been to Oklahoma, so I guess it's time to go visit, you know. I got a chance to help out my great niece, my son's granddaughter. She's been going to BYU here, and she's just finishing up her first year, her freshman year. And she had called me a little while ago, just asked me if she could leave a few things, you know, here at the apartment while she was gone over the summer. I said, sure, no problem. And she texts me, I think she texts me back like Thursday or something like that. And she goes, I have a little bit more stuff than just a few garbage pails that I had filled and stuff like that. So I went over there in the morning and she filled up my truck, my car, which was fine. It's good. And we were able to get it all in the, we were all, you know, getting the trunk in the back of the car. So that was good. And then we went out to lunch and talked about her, you know, she still has her finals to do. So she was doing finals Friday, Saturday, and then Monday and Wednesday. And she's actually flying back to Cincinnati on Sunday. And then she'll take a couple of her final exams while she's at home. That's kind of nice. Never had that option when I was going to school. So that's kind of cool that they could do that. And but it was nice seeing her and helping her out. And she's got really cool plans for the summer. She's actually doing a study abroad, and she's going to Samoa. I don't know if Tonga is one of them or not. I don't think so, but New Zealand, and spending like 6 weeks down there with a group of other students and faculty and things like that. So they're going to go down and help and do some teaching, and that what a wonderful experience that'll be for her. That's just something you can just, man. I wish I would have done something. I did a senior project here in Salt Lake City. Actually, I worked with a TV station here for my internship here, and it was just wonderful. I know study abroad's different than that, but anyway, it's still good experiences that you have and that you put on your resume. She seems to have a good head on her shoulders, and she's knows what she wants to do, and it's good stuff. Listen, I want to play you a video that I kind of want to start off this discussion here. Like I said, I like to try to keep this under like a half hour so you don't get bored. Let me play this to you and see what you think, and then I'll follow up with some comment.
For today, kind of a big story, I think. I wonder how much it's going to get covered in the liberal media, because it's about how natural immunity. They did a giant study, 65 countries, or maybe something like 65 countries, many, many different studies. They looked at them all. Natural immunity, as good or better than the vaccine. Something I've been saying since the beginning, and I get called an anti-vaxxer. That's not an anti-vaxxer. This is the kind of thing, my problem with the media from both sides is not that you guys lie. It's that you tell me your side of the story that you want me to know. You don't tell me the whole story. I'd be curious as to how much play this story gets, because I remember reading that they did a study of Republicans versus Democrats. The question was, what percentage, this is like a year and a half ago,
I read that study.
What percentage of people who get COVID require hospitalization? The answer is less than 1%. Almost half of Democrats thought it was over 50%. They listened to your network. Where do they get that kind of information?
That was to you. That was to you.
That's bad information they have in their head, and it's from one side, as I saw in the paper today.
So that, let's just stop that. They had two panelists on there, I guess, and both of them were like legacy media or something like that, and they just kind of like looked at each other. Neither one didn't want to answer because it was a good question. Like, the perception that many people have is what they listen to or watch on TV, radio, or read in the newspapers. That's the information that they get. And when you're only given one side of a story, it's like really impossible to really have a good, clear understanding. I'm like Bill here. I kind of like looked at during this whole thing for 2 years. I kind of like looked at the data instead of listening to the talking heads on TV and our governors and things like that. I read and I tried to listen to what the actual data that was coming back from all of this. And you know what I found was the same thing. That you're only getting half the story, and you know, we're still getting the same kind of activity from the media, from the legacy media that we've always gotten. And, you know, now it's gotten into, well, to the Hunter Biden laptop scandal and information that's been aside that everybody, you know, they Facebook and all the social media and all the outlets kind of like just put a hush on that one and said it's all disinformation, misinformation, Russian disinformation and things like that. That's what the big cry was the whole time during the election time. And now, you know, we start to see more and more information coming out. You know, number one, that the laptop wasn't some made up thing. It's real and it does have this information on it. And that the information isn't, it's real. It's not something that's disinformation or something that's produced by Russia. And now this week, if you were listening to the news at all, you've heard that there's a whistleblower that has come forth talking about the investigation into this whole laptop and this whole Biden case, that there's been politics behind this as far as the investigation goes, and he still hasn't come out with all the information to my knowledge, but what he has said is, well, it goes back to what Bill Maher was talking about. You only give me portions of the information that you want me or that you want us to know, and instead of giving me the truth, nothing but the truth, so help you God type of thing. And you're playing this political game. Listen, with Anheuser-Busch, you're playing politics here. You're playing environmental, social, and governance board statistic numbers. Okay, that's what you were playing. Okay, and now we're finding out, as a result, you know, Anheuser-Busch CEO coming out with, you know, now he's doing, you know, commercials with horses again and, you know, we're America and blah, 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 blah. Well, you're not America when you sit there and you do stupid stuff, you know, and then now you have the VP who, you know, pushed this equity horseshit on those people who drink, you know, Bud Light. And they didn't like, they're not going for it. And now they're hurting and they lost a tremendous amount of market share as a result of it. And who knows if they'll ever be able to get it back. Because you continue to sit there and just market what you want to market. You don't care if it hurts the American people. You don't care if it's the truth. You don't care if it's the whole truth. You just put out there what you want us to believe. And you know, this for me, this kind of started a long time ago, but it really came to a head with COVID. You know, I remember talking to my brother when all this broke, and I go, well, you know, we're sitting there saying, oh, 2 weeks to stop the spread, and then we need to, you know, hunker down and stay in our homes and not, you know, not see our grandkids and not see our mothers and stuff like that, and not go visit people in the hospital, you know, for a couple months. And I remember saying, you know, American people are going to get angry at this, and they're not going to stand for it. And I remember my brother specifically, he says, I don't know. He says, I don't know. He says, people are pretty, they're vulnerable, and I think that they'll go along with whatever the government tells them to do, and it's sad. And lo and behold, you know, 2 years later, here we are, keeping our kids out of school, not going to church, working from our homes, not going and visiting our, you know, dying relatives in the hospital. We are banned from talking with each other. We're banned from going outside and walking through parks because parks are closed down everywhere. It's the stupidest thing that I've ever heard. And you've always, on the news, it was just always the same thing. Fear, 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 fear. If you do this, your grandma's going to die. If you do this, your child's going to die. If you take your school, if you let your kids go to school unmasked and unvaccinated, they're going to take it home to grandma and you're going to kill grandma. We're going to have a Christmas where a death and misery and woe and all this stuff. And it's the same thing over and over and over again. My question is when are we going to wake up and smell the roses and expect the truth, nothing but the truth, so help me God? When are we going to get back to wanting real information, wanting the whole story. When are these legacy media's people, these so-called journalists, going to actually do journalism? I remember taking some journalism classes when I was at BYU. And they talked about integrity. They talked about sources. They talked about when you're interviewing, make sure you get your sources confirmed. In fact, I think it was like three or four different sources. So you confirm everything before you go write a story, right? You make sure that you have all the facts lined up, to as much facts as you can possibly have, before you went and you actually printed a story. Today, it's completely backwards. Today, you just hear something, somebody puts a title on an article, and they just shove it out there without any kind of verification at all, it seems. Okay? And then the whirlwind follows up with defending everything that they say and their lack of information for who knows how long. And then the truth comes out. And guess what? Our legacy media and none of these people ever apologize, never say that we were wrong, right? They may do some retractions to a storyline or something like that, or to a title of an article, but they never apologize for what they did. They just put it out there because they don't care. They just don't care about telling you the truth any longer. That's why you have to be diligent in yourself, your personal life, to get and look at information and allow that information, you know, to keep studying, keep looking, keep viewing, keep reading until you get all the information, and then the information seems to coalesce into a certain position. And once it coalesces into a position, then you can pretty much say to yourself, this is true. And then what you'll find, here's what you'll find, you will find that the legacy media, that these people have been lying to you, or they haven't been giving you all of the truth, which to me is the same thing. It's lying to you. They're pushing a narrative that they want to push and they don't want you to know. Or they'll call you names. They'll call you a homophobe. They'll call you a bigot. They'll call you racist. They'll call you transphobe because you simply merely are looking for more information to make a good decision for yourself and your family. That's all. And you're demonized because of it. And we see the same thing happening with this whole transgender movement. If you disagree with somebody, if it doesn't make sense to you, you're called a transphobe, no matter what your position on it. You hate, you know, transphobic people. You want to kill. You want to exterminate them. You want all this negative, fearful talk that we get from our media today. And it's just a bunch of BS. And I'm just curious, when are we going to start waking up more? I think maybe we're starting to do that with Anheuser-Busch. I was impressed with the number of people that spoke out and boycotted Anheuser-Busch. You know, they just weren't going to have it. They just weren't going to. And it's not just Dylan Mulvaney. I get him. He's a guy that was a so-so singer, couldn't make it as a singer. He, you know, then he's gay. And he couldn't make it as a gay singer. Now he's doing this 365 days to become a woman, transgender person. And if you watch any of those videos, it's like ridiculous. There's not a woman that I know that acts like this guy. And he's just mocking a womanhood and girlhood and a whole all females. He's just mocking them to. It's just incredible to watch these things, how stupid they really are. But I get him. He's trying to earn a living. He's trying to make money, and that's what he's doing. And he's getting all these deals now with different, you know, Anheuser-Busch. I don't know what he's getting paid. I hope that Anheuser-Busch cuts off that bit of money that he gets, because it's just ridiculous. But you have other people. There are other corporations that are all part of this. And I'm telling you, it's all driven by this this equity, social, and governance board, and the CEI scores and things like that, where these corporations have been basically forced into and heckled into doing by investment groups like BlackRock and what's the other one? BlackRock and Vanguard and a couple other ones that are pushing this ESG, which is more of a stakeholder position where your investment should be instead of stockholder kind of situation. And I think it's wrong. And you know what? With Anheuser-Busch, same thing. Anheuser-Busch is fell for this this ESG, and now you've got former employees of Anheuser-Busch coming out to. Let me see if I can find an article here that I was reading. I thought it was kind of interesting. Hold on. Give me a break. Hold on. All right, I found it here. Let me read this to you. I thought this was kind of a good take on what's going on with Anheuser-Busch. It says, a former Anheuser-Busch executive says firm is wrong to think the Dylan Mulvaney controversy will go away by ignoring it because conservative customers won't just forget the fiasco. A former Anheuser-Busch executive says that the firm is wrong to think that... All right, I just read that. It's just repeating it from the title. Anson Frerichs claimed that counting on people to forget about the incident, which sparked widespread fury on April 1, is a wrong bet to make. He appeared on Fox and Friends this weekend, and on Fox News Sunday, he discussed reports that the Bud Light's marketing vice president, Alyssa Heinerscheid, whatever name, has taken a leave following the incidents, which she probably won't be back because it's just a complete fiasco. Anyway, she is being replaced by Budweiser global marketing vice president, Todd Allen. It comes after a worldwide calls for the boycott of Bud Light after a transgender influencer Mulvaney promoted America's best-selling beers to her 11 million followers. Worked for AB for over a decade believes that the traditional a political brand became embroiled in a controversy when investors began pushing them to be accountable to all those so-called stakeholders, political organizations, and activist organizations. This is at ESG that I was telling you about. This is it in the CEI scores that these new companies like BlackRock and Vanguard are trying to push on corporations to... You know, for diversity and stuff like that, which is just incredibly stupid and wrong. Anyway, and that's what he's talking about, these political organizations and moving away from stockholders and shareholders and moving more to a stakeholder, which anybody could be a stakeholder. I don't drink Bud Light. I don't drink at all. Okay. So, but I could still, in Anheuser-Busch and with the ESG and BlackRock, I could still be a stakeholder and make decisions and influence the investments that go into Anheuser-Busch because I'm a stakeholder, because I certain that even though I don't invest or I don't buy the product, okay, that is wrong. That is completely and utterly wrong. So, and it goes on to say, that's the bet they're making. I think that it's wrong bet to make. And I think now is the time to go back and for companies like Anheuser-Busch to say that, hey, moving forward for brands like Bud Light, we're not going to be political. We're not going to get involved in the environmental social governance movement because that's not what the customers want. Amen to that. That's not what the customers want, and that's good for Anheuser-Busch. That's good for Coke. That's good for whiskey drinkers. That's good for makeup companies. It's good for every corporation in this country, in this world, to stay out of politics because this is what happens. And what you're going to have is you're going to have people that get pissed off and angry, and they are not going to buy your product because your product is not the only product that they can choose from. And if they have a choice and they don't like your politics, they're going to change. So you better think very hardly, very stringently about whether this is going to work for you, because I'll guarantee you it's not going to work. Maybe not in every case, okay? But I'll tell you for sure. In Anheuser-Busch's case, it didn't work, and it backfired terribly. And whether they get all their people back, who knows? Maybe people have gone off to, you know, buy another product, and they like the other product. You know, I don't drink, but they say that Bud Light's like drinking piss water. If they get a taste of other beers, which you don't want them going out and tasting other beers. You want them to drink your beer. You want to produce the best beer that you can possibly make, and you want them to drink your beer. Now you've given them the opportunity to go out and look for other beers to drink. Do you want that as a makeup? Do you want somebody else to go out and try another makeup? Do you want somebody else to buy another brand of whiskey? Does Nike want you going to some other company to buy your sports bras and your workout outfits and not buy Nike anymore? That is what is going to happen. Okay? And as this continues to grow, these other companies better perk up. They better watch what's going on with Anheuser-Busch, because it is not unique. This can happen to you as well, and it will happen to you as long as you stay in the political ring and stop worrying about the 1% or 2% of people with the big bullhorns and who get the big mouths and who are angry and who are constantly threatening people if I don't believe the same way you do, or I don't think the same way you do, and throwing out all kinds of descriptors like bigots and sexists and transphobes and all kinds of different things. It's not true. And corporations need to understand it's not freaking true. So get off the ESG train. Get off all this crap, because it's not something that is good. He added that there's a more of a fundamental problem that's going on right now, where Anheuser has to choose who it's going to be accountable to. Will it be its shareholders, or is it going to be stakeholders? It's a good point. He says, historically, Anheuser-Busch has been accountable to the shareholder, which is our people like firefighters, doctors, lawyers that invested in the companies like Anheuser-Busch via their 401 and pension plans. Over the last couple of years, there's been this organization like BlackRock, State Street, and Vanguard that have pushed this new model of stakeholder capitalism, asking companies like Anheuser-Busch to be accountable to all these so-called stakeholders, political organizations, and activist organizations. And it doesn't work. And they do that by implementing ESG, environmental social governance policies, in corporations that ask them to get involved in these controversial issues. But unfortunately, when they try to be everything to everyone, you end up being accountable to no one. Very good statement by this guy. Very smart. Very smart. And every corporation should be looking at Anheuser-Busch as an example of what not to do, and get away from this ESG crap, because it's dangerous. It's dangerous to your corporation, and it's dangerous to us as a society, and dangerous in investing and everything else. Listen, I've been going on here a little bit. I'm get ready to close, but here's my take on what's kind of going on here with all this. We as a nation, we are suffering from a sickness, okay, and it's been happening for a while, and it's rearing its ugly head more so in the last couple of years when we've given up our rights. We as a people have listened to government. We have listened to these so-called elitists, these educated, these doctors and scientists and stuff like that. And these doctors and these scientists and these elitists have a different perspective on your life than you have, than I have. They really do. Theirs is about power, keeping themselves in a position of power. They don't care about you. They don't care about your family. They don't care about your children in school. They don't even know their effing names. They don't care about these children. They don't care about anything but themselves. You have to understand that. They do not care. They have brought this fight to conservatives and to people who really just want to live their lives. They just want to be able to go to work. They want to be able to go on vacations with their families and their kids. They want to be able to go to ball games and sporting events at their kids' schools without being pegged as a bigot or a sexist, because you don't want a male pretending to be a woman participating in women's sports. Okay? We don't want that. President Biden, the American people, polling-wise and everything, say that they don't want that. Okay, and the question is why do you want that? Why do you want to sexualize our children? Why is it that you approve of people going to schools, drag queens going to schools, and dancing half naked, gyrating your privates in front of 5-year-olds and 6-year-olds. Why in the hell do you want that to take place in our schools? It's a question that everybody needs to ask. That's not part of our educational system. It should not be part of our educational system. A person's sexual orientation should not be the topic of discussion in an elementary school setting, all the way through high school. It should not. It should be focusing on what will help these kids be good adults and participants in as citizens in their country. And you do that by educating them through their, you know, learning math, science, communication, literature of the past and in the future. You don't shove sexuality in front of our children. The American people don't want this. And if you're listening to this and you're a parent and you hear this stuff, you should be furious and completely outraged by what's going on. By what's going on in our country today. And it's all because we are a sick country, and we are sick because we have left the belief in God. We have sacrificed God and religion in our country for other ideologies, other religions, transgenderism, selfishness, feminism. All this is now starting to see, we're starting to see the toll that it's taking on us and our families and our marriages and things like that. And the only thing that's going to work, it isn't because we go out and elect some new Republican or new Democrat who's got some new slogan that says, hey, you know what, I'm going to do this and I'm going to do that. And it's not that at all. They only have a certain amount of power, okay? The power comes from us as people. We as individuals, this is what the Constitution gives us. We are the people that have the power. And that power is only going to come if we correct ourselves. We self-correct. We need to do this. We need to get involved in our religion again. Whether, I don't care what you are, Muslim, Catholic, I don't care if you're Jewish, LDS, I don't care what you are, Protestant, I don't care what you are. Get involved in your church again. Take your children to church. Renew your faith. Teach your children the principles, not just religious principles, not just church principles, but in church you learn civic responsibility. You learn all the standardized standards that your children are going to be raised with as they get older. And they're going to carry those things along. And if they are not being taught that by you or your religious group or the religion that you go to, then they're going to be left up and given, the world is going to eat them up. The world and colleges are going to share, they're going to teach them and brainwash them to believe all this transgenderism and this idea that the idea of stakeholders, all this stuff is what your children are going to learn. We need to heal from the inside. We need to go back to church. We need to put an emphasis on marriage again. Okay? Get rid of selfishness. Work on our marriages. Don't give up and don't quit because times get tough. Start going back to church and learning these things again. If we don't, we're going to continue to go down the same path, and it is not going to be a very nice path to be on. It's going to be a rough show, people. It's going to be very rough. And we're going to look back and we're going to sit there and say to ourselves, why did we allow this to happen? Just like we're looking back now 2 years and wondering how in the hell did we allow the government of the United States and people and the elites and these doctors and everything take control of our lives by controlling us with COVID. Just a dry run, folks. That's all it was. Just a dry run to see how far they could push you, how far they could push me, and forcing us to do these things. And now we're finding out all this information, masks, vaccines, keeping the kids home from school, all this damage that has taken place as a result. And we are going to continue to see this damage unfold right in front of our eyes And what are we going to do about it? Are we going to continue? Are we going to allow the next thing to come along to bid our freedoms farewell again? Are we just going to give up our constitutional rights and our freedoms? I hope not. I hope not. I learned those things in church. I learned those things by worshiping God, not some idol, not some transgender, okay, not some drag queen, not some elitist doctor, Dr. Fauci. Okay, I don't get that from following President Biden or Trump or anybody. I don't care who it is. What I care about is truth, and that's what we need to get back to. Hey, thanks for listening. I hope this helps somebody. I really do. We live in a very troubling and difficult time. We need parents to be parents, okay? We need parents teaching children proper principles and standards to live by. And looking at these things, having very difficult discussions with our children and raising them from the time that they're young, that they know these standards, and they grow up understanding that these ideas are true. They're not just some fictitious religious thing that you can, you know, that you're crazy for being a conservative or you're crazy for being religious in this world today. It's not. It's exactly what's ill in this country right now. Hey, I hope you have a good week. I'll see you back on Thursday. And I appreciate you listening. Again, please give me 5 stars. Share it with your friends. Be a voice. That's what I said this 1,000 times. This is why I do this podcast, and I'm going to keep doing it. And I hope people will listen. God bless us. God bless America. God bless this country that we as a people we have the strength to make a course correction, because we are definitely on the wrong course. I said this a long time with Obama. We are on the wrong course. 75% of the people in this country said we are on the wrong path. We are on the same path, except now it's been accelerated by this current administration. And he's just taking everything that Obama wanted to do, and he's just implementing it, and it's like on steroids. Stand up. I'm not going to tell you who to vote for. I'm not going to tell you who to vote for. Vote for the right person. Okay, vote for the person that can win. Don't vote because the polls tell you this or that. Vote for the person that can win an election, that makes you promises that I will do these things and I will make these changes, and then have them stick with it. That's when changes take place. That's when the course will be reversed. Again, thanks for listening. I'll see you on Thursday.